Welcome to the Simple Money, Simple Life podcast. I am Matt Erickson and I'm your host. This is a podcast where we explore how simplicity beats complexity, especially in money matters. We explore investing, personal finance, and how to live a simple and awesome life. Hey everybody, it's good to be back with you for another episode. I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. I certainly have enjoyed doing the podcast and gives me a great opportunity to share my ideas with you and continue to explore different concepts around money and simplicity. Episode 6 is titled, Do You Like FIRE? I'm excited to dive into this episode. Some of you have probably heard of FIRE, some of you haven't and wonder what in the world I'm talking about. Let me give you a quick definition of what FIRE stands for. It's an acronym that stands for Financially Independent Retire Early. Now, the FIRE movement was made somewhat famous by a guy named Mr. Money Mustache. He wrote a blog that had millions of readers and a lot of people really latched onto it that helped people understand that there's a possibility to retire before age 65 or 67, and he outlined actually how to do it. So the concept behind financial independence, retire early, is that some people have gotten into their careers and have found that they don't necessarily enjoy the job that they're in, yet they might be making a lot of money and saving a lot of money. And so how the FIRE movement kind of started is people decided, hey, look, we can figure out a way to work hard for 10 to 20 years, have a high savings rate, and have enough assets accumulated that I can retire early and decide to spend the rest of my life doing whatever I so choose to do. So in order for this FIRE process to work, a person has to be very motivated, very focused, have very good self-control, great savings habits, and probably a high savings rate as well, and probably make quite a high income to be able to pull it off. Another important aspect to the financial independence retire early movement is the concept of lowering your expenses, because the less you spend, the more money you'll be able to put into your savings and towards your eventual dream of retiring early. So it's a very intentional way of saving and spending your money. Most people who adhere to the FIRE movement save anywhere from 20 to 70% of their income. Now, many of you listening may think this is crazy and impossible, and probably for a lot of people it is. For a smaller segment of the population, and maybe some of you, it is possible. If one saves 20 to 70% of their income, they can reach a point early in their career where they're able to live off their assets. Now, let me talk a little bit about what that means. So most people who save money for early retirement would save their money into their 401k plan, their IRAs like we've talked about, but they also invest in what I defined in an earlier podcast as a taxable account or a brokerage account. Now, this is not a non-retirement vehicle, but it's a place where you can put your money in Vanguard or Fidelity and invest it in index funds like we've talked about, the same kind of index funds you can invest in with a Roth IRA or an IRA. So the FIRE movement loves index funds because they are looking to squeeze every last bit out of their investing. So they do not want to pay high fees. So typically they don't hire a financial advisor. They don't use actively managed funds because they want that low expense ratio to be able to help them compound and grow as fast as possible. I want to give a book recommendation for anybody listening who's interested in the FIRE movement. There's a great book I ran across a few years ago called The Simple Path to Wealth by J.L. Collins. My hope is that I can get him on the podcast at a future date. He's a really fun guy to listen to, and he also has a blog that is basically the same as his book. So if any of you know me and want to borrow this book, I'd be happy to lend it to you. Also, you can just go pick up a copy of your own at the library or off Amazon, but it's called The Simple Path to Wealth, and it lays out how to accomplish in financial independence if you're interested. My personal belief is anything retiring before age 67 is retiring early. So a lot of people who have not saved money throughout their careers are basically tied to working until age 67, sometimes even later, until they can claim their Social Security at a high rate. For most of us, age 67 is the time when you can claim your full retirement. If you wait until age 70, you can claim a higher rate per month. So a lot of people feel like, I have to stay in this job, I have to stay in this career until this date, because otherwise I have no way of bringing in income. Now, if you follow the precepts and concepts that we're going to talk about in this podcast and already have talked about and will talk about, you will be saving from a very young age and put yourself in a position where maybe at age 50 or 55 or 60, you'll have enough money saved that you can retire a little bit early and use those awesome years between, let's say, 60 and 67 to do other things. You might still choose to work, but you might choose to work in a job where you're paid a lot less, or you might start a new business where there's some risk and you don't feel like you can take it on earlier in your career because of your family. Or you might choose to do a lot of service and volunteer. So there's the possibilities are endless of what you could do with those extra years that you might shave off before retirement. So what you're essentially doing when you're saving your money and investing during your lifetime is you're buying your future freedom. You're giving yourself flexibility so that if your health is not great later in life, or if a family member needs extra attention and you need to quit your job to take care of them, or any number of reasons, you might get really tired of your career and your job and want to do something else that pays less or just not work at all. This kind of plan gives you great flexibility to be able to have those options later in your life, simply by investing, saving, and staying the course. So some of the reasons you might want to consider financial independence, retire early, is the flexibility and freedom that it can give you. So the FIRE movement has come under a lot of scrutiny for different things, just because a lot of people don't think it's really that possible to do. Some people feel like it's only for the elite people who are doctors and other high-income professionals, or they feel like it's just not a reachable goal, or that retiring early is a waste because you're not spending your time working and giving back to society. There's a lot of people who are against it. My personal opinion is I love the FI part of FIRE, financial independence. I plan on retiring before age 67, hopefully in the range of age 60-ish, or maybe even sooner if things work out well. But I want to have that independence to be able to choose to do something else if I choose to, even though I love my career and I love my job. I want to have that freedom to say, I'm going to go live in Italy for 6 months if I choose to, or going to go to another country and do some service for some people, or something along those lines. So there's different kinds of financial independence. One is known as slow FI. FI is just for financial independence. Another one is coast FI, and another one is fat FI. I don't want to spend too much time on those, but slow FI is just when a person decides they do want to reach financial independence, but they're not willing to sacrifice everything right now just so they can have enough money. They want to live now, not just save it all for later. Coast FI is when you have saved enough assets, say, let's say you're 40 years old, and you put your numbers into a retirement calculator, and you see by age 65, you'll have as much as you need. That's what Coast FI is, where if you needed to stop investing, you could, assuming that your money can compound between that age and 65. Fat FI is simply wanting to save up extra so that you can live a really nice, extravagant lifestyle when you're at that financial independence spot. Now, a lot of people wonder, well, how do I calculate how much I'm going to need? So that brings us to something called the 4% rule, which has been studied by different people. And what it says is that a person can take out 4% of their portfolio every year and basically probably never run out of money, and add money for inflation each year. So let's say you have $1 million saved up. The 4% rule states that you can withdraw $40,000 a year plus added inflation numbers each year indefinitely and never run out of money. I think it's a pretty conservative, helpful rule. Some people nowadays are saying you need to lower it to 3.5% because bond yields are so low and other reasons. But I think based on historical context, based on the studies they've done, the 4% rule is a good rule of thumb to kind of estimate when you might have enough money to retire. Some other resources other than J.L. Collins that you could look at if you're interested in podcasts. There's a guy named Brandon. He podcasts under the Mad Scientist. There's one called Afford Anything by Paula Pant. And there's one called Choose FI by Jonathan and Brad. There are a couple of podcasts you can listen to learn more about this movement or this concept if you want to. So if you save nothing, like I said, you set yourself up to be basically committed to working until Social Security kicks in. It gives you no flexibility, so that for those people out there who get into a job that's just miserable or they're just burned out and can't take it anymore, those kind of people are left in a position where they either have to find a new job or just put their head down and get through it and keep going. Working towards financial independence will give you the opportunity and freedom to at least explore that idea. Now, if you want to know how much you're on pace to earn for Social Security, you can go to ssa.gov and develop an account there, get a username and a password. It keeps track of all of your earnings throughout every year. It's a government website. And estimate, it's a really good website, actually, and it will estimate how much your monthly or yearly benefit will be once you claim Social Security at different ages. The first year you can collect Social Security is age 62. Then full retirement age for most of us is 67. And the longest you should wait is age 70. That's when you get the most. 62, you get basically less because you're claiming earlier. 67, you get the full amount. And every year you wait after that, you get 8% more up until age 70. So it's for most people who are the main breadwinner in the home, it's wise to wait till age 70 to collect that money, because that you're locked into that higher amount for the rest of your life. And if you pass away, your spouse gets that same amount. So that's a good thing to keep in mind for claiming Social Security. So when we think about what money can bring to us, like, yes, it can buy things, but for me, the best thing money can buy is financial freedom and experiences, the freedom to explore, the freedom to find new experiences, new passions, to expand on the purpose you have in life and the things you want to give back and do for people. It gives you extreme amounts of flexibility if you do it wisely. Essentially, you're buying your freedom, and that's one thing that helps me invest and enjoy investing is I've gotten to a point where I enjoy saving money. I just like it. It feels good because I feel like I am buying my future freedom and I'm preparing for the future so that I have options. And when I think of it that way, it's much easier for me to save because it becomes enjoyable rather than feeling like you're sacrificing. So my personal kind of the way I do it, and I've never been necessarily a high wage earner. So this plan obviously works much better the more money you make, because a person making $300,000, let's face it, in all likelihood, you could at least save half of your income and live a good life. And if you saved $150,000 a year, you can see that it probably wouldn't take too long to get to a point where you are financially independent. So what I'm doing right now is during my career, I've had different savings rate throughout my life. When I was early in my career, I was probably only saving 5, 6, 7%, something like that. During different periods of time, it's changed based on the health issues we've faced as a family, but my goal is always between 10 and 20% to save that amount. And right now I'm in that range somewhere. And one priority that my wife and I had earlier in our marriage, which I'll do an episode on later about how exactly we did this, but we have paid for our house and do not have a mortgage anymore. And so that was important for us for psychological and emotional reasons to be debt-free and not have a mortgage hanging over our head. And that's given us a lot of flexibility now to be able to save, but also to have some experiences with our kids, to have some experiences together, such as the awesome trip we took to Italy a couple years ago, and other things we've been able to do. So I believe my personal goal is to save 10 to 20% of my income. I invest it in low-cost index funds, which I've defined on other episodes. And the way I invest is I invest in my 401k, I invest in an S&P 500 fund, which are the 500 large cap companies in the United States. I do half of my 401k in that, and I do half in a US mid cap fund. So I defined those terms earlier. I hope you guys remember what they mean. And then in my Roth IRA, I invest in an international index fund, which covers the other part of the globe other than the United States. And I also invest in a small cap fund, which is the companies with market cap under $2 billion. Now, we're going to have future episodes on this, so bear with me, but financial research and studies have shown over time that the small company stocks are more volatile and go up and down more, but they do tend to have a higher return. So that's why I specifically dedicate some of my money to a small cap index fund. So like I said, we do the saving, we have paid off our mortgage, we invest in index funds through 401k and a Roth IRA. And another thing we do that is kind of helping us towards our goal is my wife and I have always driven in expensive cars. We've never bought a new car. We buy used cars and we typically drive them until they die. Like, for example, I drive a 2003 Honda Pilot. It's definitely getting up there in years. It has about 200,000 miles on it, but I'll probably drive that for, you know, several more years as long as it hangs in. Excuse me, as long as it hangs in there for me. Another thing that we try to do to head towards our financial independence goal is to keep lifestyle inflation in check, which means as you get raises, as you make more money, there's an easy tendency to just spend what you make. So what we've tried to do is whenever we get a raise is try to invest some of that money, try to save some of that money, and try not to just let it slip through our fingers by spending it on whatever might come along. So another thing that you can consider if you're interested in financial independence is to develop a side hustle or an extra job on the side. A lot of people who are really focused on this concept will work their full-time job and then they'll do something maybe entrepreneurial on the side or work for someone else on the side and save all that extra money that they make. It is a sacrifice to do this, and people who do it might work 60, 70 hours a week, but it is a way to really accelerate your path towards financial independence. It's just a matter if you want to give up in the present time what you might be giving up with that time. So if you can get three things right with a fourth category as well, it sure helps in your quest towards financial independence, especially for people who might not be high wage earners. So it's really important to get the house right. One rule of thumb is to not have your mortgage be 25% more or more of your income. And so if you buy a house and the mortgage and the taxes and whatever is so high that you can't save or can't spend on other things, that's what some people refer to as house poor. It's not a good idea for goals towards financial independence. The other one is a car. If your average car payment in America, I think, is around $450. And if you were to invest that $450, that would, throughout a lifetime, that would turn you into a millionaire. So simply by driving less expensive cars and used cars certainly helps towards financial independence. Another thing is education costs. So people who are saddled with student loan debts and who are buried in those, it's very hard to get ahead when you're spending all of your money on student loan debt. So obviously it's great to get those paid off as soon as possible, and even better to not have student debt in the first place and find a way to pay for your education. So I've thought about doctors a lot. I know doctors make a lot of money, but say a person wants to become a doctor, they often will have to go through to get a bachelor's degree, then they'll have to go to med school, then they'll have to do a residency. So it might be a good solid 12 years of education, or maybe more if they specialize, before they can go out and work and start earning a big living. So as you think about a doctor and they get into their probably early 30s, mid 30s, before they can set up their own practice or join a practice, start making money, a lot of doctors, what they will do is they've been living on such little amounts of money for their whole life and sacrificing so much that once they get into practice, they'll start to spend quickly. They'll feel like they have to put up an image of a doctor, get a nice car, get a big house, get all the benefits of what they see other doctors having while paying off that enormous student loan that they typically have. So if a doctor were wanting to go more towards a financial independence, retire early method, it would be great to not let that happen, but to buy a modest house, to pay off your student loans as quickly as possible, to have a high savings rate. When you make $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a year, think of the money you can save. Doctors oftentimes will want to work their whole career, but in a difficult profession like that, or being a dentist where the burnout rate can be quite high, I think it's a great idea to set yourself up so that if you're into your 40s or early 50s and you want to do something else that doesn't have so much pressure or demands, that you're in a financial position to be able to do that. Because with a high salary and earning rate, you can really sock away that money. And that goes for any high income professional. It's great to kind of, if you're listening to this and you're making a lot of money and you're spending it all, it'd be awesome to sit down, look at your life, look at what you're spending money on, see if it really brings you joy, really brings you value, brings you happiness. And if it doesn't, and you've fallen into a rut of spending for some other reason, shave some things off, carve some things off your list of what you're spending money on. Think about how you can save a higher percentage of your money. See if you can save 20, 30, 40% and start working towards this financial independence goal. So I believe some people complain that they don't think Social Security will be around in 20 or 30 years. I think it will be around. I think there will be some adjustments made to it. They'll either have to raise the taxes or possibly have it more means tested, or even raise the retirement age. There's a lot of things they can do, but I'm convinced there will be a form of Social Security around for us. But the question is, do you want to live and be committed to living on $2,000-$3,000 a month from age 65 to the time you die? Or do you want to be able to live on much more than that and be able to help your grandkids, go on great trips, not stress about money, do wonderful things with your family? I personally am going for that, because it's up to us to develop our vision. It used to be that pensions were common and they would pay people out. I think there's only maybe 10 to 20% of employees who have pensions anymore. Now they've gone to more of the employee being responsible for his or her retirement with the 401k type plans. So it's extremely critical that we start this early in our careers and we stick with it and get with a plan and stay focused and always contribute towards our future and our goals. There's a great basic retirement calculator that I use. It's called Easy Calculators. It's a free app. One of the calculators on that app is a retirement calculator. You can plug in the numbers of how much you have saved, how much you save monthly, what interest rate you think you'll get, and how many years you'll be doing it, and it will show you how much that will be worth. I use that a lot to kind of determine kind of what path I'm on and where I'm headed. A lot of people tend to bury their head in the sand and just say, I'll worry about it later, or I can't do that now, I'm too swamped with my other bills. But there's no better time than today to start saving for this future. The future will come for most of us. And if we're prepared and we have a great nest egg that we've built up slowly over time or fast for those high wage earners, it will be great. So I'm on this path. It's obviously, I'm in my late 40s now. It's going to take me more time to get there. I'm not in a position where I can retire right now, obviously. But some people are. Some of the people in the FIRE movement retire in their early 30s or in their late 30s or early 40s. So it is possible to do, but it takes a plan and a commitment. So if you're interested in FIRE, I would recommend that you really think about what I've said in this podcast and buy J.L. Collins' book, A Simple Path to Wealth, and read about that. If you don't want to buy his book, you can just look up his blog online and read his blog articles. And it's a great thing to be thinking about. I don't tend to want to do the extreme version of extreme sacrifice now and save every dime I can squeeze out of my budget. I'm doing more of a balanced approach because that's just kind of my personality. I want to live now. I want to enjoy now. But I also want to save for later and have an awesome future because there's so many awesome things to do later in life too. That will be all for today's episode, episode number 6. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the podcast. Go to your favorite podcast platform and please leave a 5-star review and subscribe to the show. That will help the show to grow and for others to become aware of it. You can follow the show on Instagram @simplemoney_simplelife. And remember, the simple life is a good life.